Many times as I've done funeral service, and you'll go to do a funeral for someone, they may not even know the Lord, but in the little handout they give, the little bulletin, and it'll have the 23rd Psalm. I always kind of wondered about that, because I've been asked to do many, many, many graveside or funeral services, and for those who never darken the door of a church, but on the back of their little funeral thing, it's got the 23rd Psalm. It's the most well-known piece of literature, of sacred literature, anywhere in the world. Most recognizable. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In fact, it's so important that for many churches, in the church I grew up in, there was rarely a Sunday where someone didn't quote it. 23rd Psalm. I shared often an old story that I heard. I'll share it today. There was years ago before, remember the days before television? Some of you don't because you're not old enough, but television, even before radio, before telephones, before anything, if you lived in Kelseyville, life was pretty boring, you know? And so what would you do? Well, every once in a while, there would be people who would kind of go by horse, wagon, whatever, and they'd go around, they would be entertainers. And they'd show up at the local Grange or at the local opera house or whatever they called them, and they would do acts from Shakespeare or things like that. There was a famous orator, and he did that. He was, I believe, on the East Coast, and he goes into a place, and somebody asked for the 23rd Psalm. And the orator got up, and he recited the 23rd Psalm absolutely perfectly. The diction was perfect, and, you know, he raised his voice at the right time, and everything was, and people, oh, very good. And then someone asked, there was an old country farmer, and he was also a preacher, old guy. You know, you could see one of those guys who's got the weathered face. He's got hands that have, you know, that are calloused from time. And they had that man stand up, and they wanted him to do the 23rd Psalm, and he quotes the 23rd Psalm. And at the end, people rose to their feet, and there was tears in their eyes. And they asked the great orator, what was the difference? And the orator says, simple, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. So here's the question this morning. Do you know the shepherd? Or do you just know the psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus is going to actually, I mean, we use this word, it came from the 60s, blow their mind. He blows the mind of these people by what he shares in this chapter. And for myself, I can't think of a more important thing to preach the week before we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ than what he says here. Jesus has just healed a blind man. He did that in the context of the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Booths. And so this is all happening in the context of that, and they just didn't get it. He says, I am the light of the world. I'm the truth that will set you free. I'm all these things. They still didn't get it. So he heals this guy who's blind. They still didn't get it. And one of them says, the Pharisees, the religious leader, hey, you don't think we're blind too, do you? Friends, it is on the heels of that discussion that Jesus says this in John chapter 10. Now, it wasn't until many centuries later that we have all the chapter breaks in the Bible. And so you'll notice that, you know, chapter 9 and 10, they would have rolled right into each other. There's no break in time. The only break in time we find, we'll find it in verse 22. In verse 22, as I share when I get there, it jumps 2 or 3 months ahead to the Feast of Dedication, which we call today Hanukkah. And so I want to put this all in the context, this whole chapter. That Jesus comes and says to them, hey, you know that shepherd that you so loved? You know that shepherd in the Old Testament who leads you by quiet waters? The one who you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil? The one who sets up a table in the presence of your enemies? And you know that one? That's me. That's what Jesus says. To all the people who will say, well, Jesus never said he was God, then they've never read John chapter 10. Jesus not only says he's God, but he says he's the good shepherd. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold of the sheep, but climbs in some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know him and the voice of the stranger. This is a figure of speech. Get this. This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them because they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. About what? About him being the light of the world, of being the way, the truth, and the life, about being the only way. Going on, verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and will find pasture. But the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life, and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He was a hireling and not a shepherd, who is the one who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, which are not of this field. I must bring them also, and they may hear my voice, and they may become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Boy, goes on and says this. There arose a division amongst the Jews because of these words, and many of them were saying, he has a demon, he's insane. Why listen to him? While others were saying, these are not the sayings of a demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? You see how it ties together? Sometimes unfortunate that he put those chapter divisions in. He's still talking to the same group of people. And he says to them, listen, I'm the real thing. I am the good shepherd. This is something in my own life that I didn't really come to grips with. I had a sense that I always believed in God. He's way up there, and I'm way down here. And if I just passed all the tests of life, that the grade book up in the sky, I would have enough C's or B minuses, I'd make it to heaven. And I just had to be better than the norm, I had to be over the top of the curve, Because both my parents were school teachers, that's how I looked at it. You know what? I realized when I got to my teenage years, it doesn't work that way. I'm either a sheep or I'm not a sheep. I'm either a sheep or I'm a goat, according to the Bible. And the sheep have a personal relationship with the shepherd, and I didn't have one. And I was talking to another member who was saved, gave his life to Christ on Easter Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what I was doing on Easter Sunday, 1973. I had partied so much the night before, I literally was passed out in the bathtub of my house. Woke up Easter Sunday, in this cold water, slime on top, going, man, how did I get here? And the Spirit of God, as he does, somehow was saying, well, how do you like your life? Not so good. Why? Because the thief comes to do what? steal, kill, and destroy. And I wasn't living an abundant life. So here's what I realized, that I was in desperate need of a shepherd. And I don't know if you've come to that point in your life. Desperate need of a shepherd. And we want to find out today, is Jesus that person? Well, first of all, we see that Jesus has the right credentials. Right credentials. Check them all off. A lot of people might come into your life and say, let me be your shepherd. Could be your spouse. They want to be your shepherd. Tell you everything to do, what not to do, you know. And that's fine. I mean, if that's what you want. But that's not really what marriage is about. They're not your savior. Hope you didn't marry someone to save you. I hope you didn't marry a project. Wow, I'll marry him and then I'll save him. Yeah, it's a train wreck ready to happen if it hasn't happened already. So, you know, get off that track and say, you know, we can't save each other. Only Jesus can save us. Jesus has the right credentials. He was born of a virgin. It was prophesied in Isaiah 7. Born in Bethlehem. Prophesied in Micah 5. He came in the fullness of time, the perfect time, tells us that in Galatians 4. It says that the shepherd, the Messiah, will be brought out of Egypt. We see that in Hosea 11. He would arrive at the right time and provoke the rage of the enemy. Jeremiah 31:15 tells us that. All these prophecies about Christ coming. And he's a real thing. Not only that, but the credential that he's already shared with us in the Gospel of John. He's the creator of the world. He's the creator of you and I. He is the light of the world. He is truth. He is God in the flesh. So that's the one. And later on we find he's bought us with a price. He's got the right credentials. I'm not sure who you are allowing to shepherd your life. But there's only a couple options. You got either you let the Lord do it, or you try to do it yourself. And I think that's why he brings this up in this question. The Pharisees, oh, you don't think we're blind too? Of course he does. Of course you're blind. You're just trying to lead yourself. You're not following me. So the question this morning begs the question, who are you following? If you think that you can call all the shots and get to heaven, you're mistaken. We see in the midst of this, the right credentials, that he calls them properly. Verse 3, to him who's the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he opens and his own sheep hear him by name, he leads them out. Now, when I was lived in New Zealand, there's a whole lot more sheep than people, okay? There's like 100 million sheep there. There's only 4 million people. So, I mean, in the Southland where I lived, I mean, you could see, as far as the eye could see, sheep. Green grass, sheep, and mountains. Beautiful. And so I remember hearing this story there. There was a story of the guy who had a bunch of sheep, and he was walking, and a couple of the sheep got away. He went and grabbed them, and he was carrying them. And a neighbor of his who didn't like him much said, hey, you stole one of my sheep. And the guy goes, no, it's my sheep. It's been lost, and I grabbed him. And he goes, no. So it ends up going to court, and they're fighting back and forth. You know, sheep looks like a sheep. So the judge, being a wise old guy, says, okay, here's what I want you to do. You got one guy saying it's his sheep, the other guy saying it's his sheep. I want you guys both to go outside. And the guy who accused the other guy of stealing, I want you to call your sheep. He calls his sheep, sheep didn't budge. Next guy who said it was his sheep, he calls him, and the sheep head for the door. Judge says, case dismissed. It's your sheep. Why? Because they responded to the voice. Here's what I've got to tell you. How do you know if you're his sheep? You respond to his voice. Jesus says, hey, this is the way to live. This is who I am. This is the relationship I want. You don't sit there and debate him.
No, I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to go to church because, you know, I'd rather serve God shooting deer in Elk Mountain someplace. Well, so what?
Jesus says, I want you to be with other believers. We hear his voice. We obey him. We don't get to just do our own thing. The joy is in this relationship. So we know that he has the right credentials. Next, we know he has the right character. The right character. Now, interesting here is that he says he is both the shepherd and the door. The shepherd and the door. Now, here's what you got to picture. Here's what these sheepfolds would look like. A lot of times they'd have a stone wall up so high, and then they would get things kind of to make a branches in a thicket up above, sometimes as high as 10 feet tall. Only one entrance, and the shepherd, once the sheep were in, would sit right in the door. Okay? He says, I'm the door. I came across this example. I love it. I want you to imagine that you have this wall. There's a giant wall. It's 10 feet tall. And you're out in the desert, and you're out in some lousy place, and you're hungry and thirsty. And you come to this wall, and you walk up, and you say, wow. And you begin to walk along this wall, right here. And you walk on it for miles and miles, days and days. And over on the other side, you're hearing laughter. There's a big party going on. You can hear they're eating food and enjoying themselves. You go, wow, boy, if I can only get in there, if I can only experience that. And you walk along, and finally you come to the door. And it says, whosoever will may come. That's the gospel that I understand. Friends, but you come and you come through Jesus. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. Those who have owned him as Lord and shepherd. It's not going, yeah, I'd like to come in and I'd like to be the shepherd, so move aside Jesus. No. You are coming in as a what? Say that. You're a sheep. Say this. I am a sheep.
I am.
Some of you didn't say it. You know, I mean, it's not that your eternal security is lost now. The fact is, because you're not going to be dealing with me up there. But the fact is this, you enter as a sheep. He is the shepherd. You don't enter and say, hey, here I am. Boy, now the party can start because now I got it all sorted out. No, you don't. You are a sheep and he is the shepherd. And he is the door. He's the only way in. There's only one door. And as much as the world that we're living in wants to say it to our children or to us, oh, you Christians are so narrow-minded. You really believe that Jesus is the only way? You know what you have to say to them? Hey, I didn't say it. I'm not the shepherd. I'm just a sheep. Who else has their credentials? No one. Who else rose from the dead? No one. Who else died on the cross to take away the sins of mankind? No one. Buddha didn't do it. Buddha didn't say, hey, follow me, I'm the shepherd. He said, hey, I'm not it, go find somebody else. That's what he said. Not somebody, you know, different words maybe. You know, the believers in Hinduism say, hey, listen, you just keep living your life until you finally perfect yourself, and then you get to nirvana, you get to like a big cosmic soup. You know, but Jesus says, hey, I'm the good shepherd, and there's only one way to enter heaven, be saved, is through me. We enter as a sheep, not as a shepherd. That's what lordship's all about. Lord, I need to be saved. I'm lost without you. I'm just meat to the wolves. The promise is powerful. The promise is powerful. Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.
And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture.
Friends, we go in through the door, and here's what it is. We enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the shepherd. He leads us in and out to pasture. When you go in through the door, it's not, well, gee, I have a church membership. Yeah, I'm an American. Yeah, I'm a Lutheran or Baptist or a Free Church or whatever you may be. The fact is, who cares? Jesus, we enter a relationship and say, I accept you as my shepherd. That means he calls the shots. He leads us in and out. So I ask you the question, do you have a relationship with that shepherd? Are you his sheep? Or do you just know the song? The promise is powerful. You will be saved. The Greek word there for saved is a powerful one. It's basically a person who is saved from danger, the danger of warfare. They've been rescued. They're a ship that makes them its way into a safe port. Yeah, they've been saved. And we realize that that's the case. So we have been saved from peril, the peril of death. So we see here that Jesus has the right credentials. He's got the right character. Next, he's got the right concern. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came, you might have life and have it abundantly. So that's what Jesus wants. Hey, look at this. See? Good picture. The shepherd's right there. He's guarding the sheep. Aren't you glad? Now, you may not believe this, but I believe it. The Bible says it, so I believe it. That there is, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says in Peter, watch out for Satan, for he prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion seeking victims to devour. So here's what the Bible says. He created us, man fell, God made a way back, and the perfect way back, is, the only way back is through Christ and the sacrifice of Christ himself. When we come to him, he gives us, we become his child, and he wraps onto us and says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a good thing. The fact is that the world out there is a very dangerous place. And I can't think of a better shepherd to have than the one who created everything. He's got the right concern. He says this, I am the good, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Okay? Here's what it says, as opposed to that, who is a hireling and not a shepherd, and is not the owner of the sheep, behold, when the wolf comes and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and snatches them away, scatters them. He flees because he's a hireling. He's not concerned about the sheep. So here's what I have to tell you. The world and the things that we pursue in the world, materialism, fame, fortune, they have no name. They don't care about you. They're just things. The devil, who will masquerade as an angel of light, he definitely doesn't care for you. He wants to destroy you. And he says, why? Because they're just hirelings. They don't own the sheep, but he does. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. So this Friday, we'll celebrate a Good Friday. It's not good for us, good for him. It was good for us. I mean, Christ died on the cross, a torturous death. But he laid down his life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not in the fold. That's us. I must bring them in also. They will hear my voice, and they'll become one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Wow. See, even now we're talking about the fact he's going to lay down his life. He's going to take it up. He's going to rise again. He's not some defeated shepherd who just a martyr. No, he's the one who defeated death for us. So we have the right concern. He's got the right concern.
He's the one who can bring us salvation. He's the one who will hold on to us. Now, I want to jump ahead a little bit here. Verse 22 and following happens 2 months ahead, but he's still talking about it. At this time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple of the portico of Solomon, and the Jews, therefore, gathering around him, were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly," like he hadn't already. Jesus answered them and said, "I told you, but you would not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you're not my what? Sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I have given eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews took up stones to kill him. Jesus said, "I am showing you many good works from the Father. Which of them are you stoning me?" And the Jews said, "Not for good works are we stoning you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, have made yourself out to be God." Friends, we see this in his concern, but we also see in his concern the fact that he realizes that something that the sheep need is a sense of security. Nothing can snatch you from my hands. I love this true story. There's this young boy. Let's see if they have his age. This says a young boy. He's living in Florida, and he was kind of hot, and so there was a pond out in back of the house. He strips off his shirt and his shoes, and he's running out, and he jumps into the pond. And he jumps into the pond. He's swimming towards the middle. Just as he swam in, he didn't realize and didn't see that a large alligator had made its way into the pond. His mom steps out and sees the alligator heading towards the son, and she runs out to the bank and yells to the son, "Please turn around. Please turn around." He hears and he sees, and he's swimming like crazy towards the shore, and just as he gets to the shore, the alligator comes and grabs onto his feet, his legs. The mom is grabbing on to the hands. Let me pick it up, the story right there. He flew into the water, and what happened was, right when that happened, a farmer comes out in the middle of this struggle and sees him and shoots the alligator. Just as it reached her, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the mother grabbed the little boy by the arms. Just as the alligator snatched the legs, there began incredible tug-of-war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much more determined and too passionate to let go. Farmer happened on his way, heard the screams, raced to the truck, took an aim, and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal, and on his arms were these deep scars and scratches of the mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in an effort to hang on to the son that she loved. Newspaper reporters who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he would show him his scars, and the little boy lifted up his pant leg, and then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But I want to show you some other scars on my arm. I have great scars on my arms, too. I have them because my mother just wouldn't let go." I need to tell you this. Jesus won't let go. That's the kind of shepherd he is. Someone asked, "Well, do you believe once saved, always saved?" Of course I do. Is this in the Bible? Now, if you're not saved, then you're not saved. A lot of people sitting in pews of churches, just like I was. I wasn't saved. I had an intellectual knowledge of the shepherd, but I did not know him. I wasn't saved. If you become his child, you're his child. "I'll never leave you or forsake you. No one will snatch you out of my hand," says right here.
My sheep hear my voice, and I have given eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them from my hand and my Father's hands. Who can snatch you away? No one. Now, you can screw your life up pretty good. You can go to a faraway land like the prodigal son. You can do a lot of damage. But the fact is, if you're his child, you're his sheep, you'll hear his voice, and he'll never let go. See, the last thing is this, is that Jesus possesses the right power. In his hands, in his Father's hands, and then he says this radical thing, get this, I and the Father are what? We're one. What did he mean by that? Oh, we're just like this? We're like, you know, no. We're one essence, that's what it means. I and the Father are one. You can't steal something from God that belongs to him. Now, if you have questions to me about, you know, theologically, about, well, what about this verse, please talk to me or write it down in email. Put your name on it. If I get something emailed that's got a name, I'll just throw it away because you're not serious. Okay? And so that's my deal. If, you know, didn't like something or, hey, what about this, put your name on it and we'll go from there. A serious inquiry. But I got to tell you this. The Bible says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from my love. Why then did he say this? Because, get this, he wants you and I to become his sheep. He wants us to enter through the one door. I believe as we have that sense that we belong to him no matter what, that it revolutionizes our life. I end with this example. How many of you have ever driven across the Golden Gate Bridge? All right. How many of you have ever even seen it? Very good. Okay, some of you didn't raise your hand. All right, you know what it is, the Golden Gate Bridge. Beautiful. You know that 23 workers fell to their death building the Golden Gate Bridge. After that, the city erected huge nets underneath the tent, underneath the bridge. They're in a place where then a handful of people fell. But after they put up the net, no one died. You know what happened to the speed of the work on the bridge once they put the net up? It like doubled. And this amazing thing is that the Golden Gate Bridge was able to be built for under budget and under time. Not very typical today. You know why? Because the builders had a sense of security. What about you? You know, if you're playing around with other shepherds, or you somehow think, you know, I'm going to kind of pick and choose what Jesus tells me to do, then you're in a bad spot. You're not in a spot that's going to be helpful. Because he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Friends, that doesn't mean you're going to be filthy rich or have a gold Cadillac. Nothing. But you know what? When Jesus the shepherd says, hey, Gary, I want you to have an abundant life, and I'll give it to you if you follow me. That sounds pretty good. And that's what's offered to us this day. There's an old song called God Leads Us Along. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes a weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. You know, that was written by a guy, George Young. He was a poor pastor. He saved up his money, he and his wife. They finally, this is years ago, and they built their own house. And he was preaching strong in this community. And some hoodlums came. They didn't like what he was preaching about. You know what they did? They burned his house down. And as he was grieving over that, the Lord gave him a verse from the book of Job. Job 35:10, God my maker who gives songs in the night. We're going to sing that song. I want to pray that if you don't know the shepherd, if you don't know Jesus, then you come to know him by entering through the door. That door is by doing that, you're saying, Jesus, I'm not the shepherd, you are. You're the God. I confess the sins of my life. I confess that I need you. I'm lost without you. And you surrender to his lordship and shepherding, and you shall be saved.